Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer, brotherly hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now a part of the VSIN family podcast. We've got a great podcast for you, Tristan Freeman. He does absolutely tremendous work at FanSided. It's coverage of college basketball, busting brackets. He's going to be joining me in the second segment. We're going to talk a little bit about the hierarchy of power in the Atlantic 10. On top of that, we are going to be having some nice chatter about where Oregon State now goes, that their main low post player in Warworth Alatiche has decided that he is going to be playing pro elsewhere, and just what this means for the Pac-12 in general. Obviously, Warworth Alatiche was not going to be the difference between Oregon State being able to make or miss the NCAA tournament, but Oregon State goes from being really bad to now really, really bad. It's Oregon State perhaps paying for these sins of being able to make a deep run, and what does wind up happening to some of these teams that make a deep run and they just can't follow up on it? What winds up just being the outlook for them? Sometimes it can lead to a bad situation, like right now Oregon State dealing with an albatross of a contract that has been presented to Wayne Tinkle. So we're going to be diving into that topic of chatter. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to everything we saw in college basketball over the last 48 hours. Cut the podcast just a tad bit short yesterday since I was doing the Greg Peterson Experience, which is now 5 days a week on VSiN. And if you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Name me does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not wind up getting in any Twitter questions today, but we've got a great chat coming up next with Tristan Freeman of Bustin' Brackets right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back to Wolfie Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to get this guest on the show as Tristan Freeman. He does amazing work covering the game of college basketball over at FanSite. It's college basketball coverage, site of busting brackets. He's a man that is based out there in the Northeast part of the country, more specifically the state of Pennsylvania, taking a look at things from a local perspective as well as a national perspective. And to be able to follow Tristan on Twitter, that is at HoopsNut351 altogether. And Tristan, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Greg. Appreciate it.
Tristan, we're seeing a little bit of news right now in college basketball. Things seem to have died down ever since you wound up seeing just the madness in general that I wound up pursuing from Keontae Johnson going to Kansas State. From there, you wind up seeing Western Kentucky, you wind up getting Emmanuel Aycott, wound up having a big trickle-down effect. But when it comes to what we wound up getting on Friday, really the big piece of news that we did wind up receiving is the fact that Warpathel TJ, main low post player for Oregon State, he's decided that he is not going to be returning to Oregon State and he is going to be going to play pro. And I think that it's just a little bit of an indictment on some of these bottom feeder teams in the Pac-12. I'm not talking about the two teams that are going to be leaving for the Big Ten within the next few seasons, along with like Oregon. I'll even throw in there Washington State. I think that they're doing a little bit of a better job, but we notice a lot in the offseason, mid-range talent from the Pac-12, even a guy that was at Oregon, Eric Williams Jr., deciding that they would go to, shall we say, lesser schools. This is a case in which Altice, he's just going to be playing pro basketball in general, certainly not at the NBA level, are deciding to bolt. And I think that it's just been really a rough season for the Pac-12 in general. I'm not sure what your thoughts are overall on the conference, but I just take a look at the state of the Pac-12, and you've got your main flag bearer teams. Obviously, Arizona's one that I've yet to mention. They did a solid job in the transfer portal, in my opinion, but I just take a look at the Pac-12 in general, and really, other than your top 3 to 4 teams, it looks like it's going to be the same old from the rest of the conference, where you've got those top teams, and then you've got the teams that just are not putting up much of a fight.
Look at top half of the Pac-12. They're mainly, you know, operating on their program prestige and their sort of high status nature, like UCLA, Arizona, Oregon, and them. You know, they're doing fine with recruits and getting guys they need. But for rest of these programs, they're just struggling to gain traction. You know, if they make one step forward, they end up taking 1 to 2 steps back. And Oregon State's a great example of this. Atiche was their best returning player. And considering how awful the team was last year, they end up losing their two best guards, Deshaun Davis and Eric Lucas. Now they don't have a front court. They have transferred Dimitri Rooney from San Francisco, but he was sort of the third or fourth best player last year. And he's now basically their entire front court. They're going to hope that the freshman class steps up for them. But the Beavers, they're now in a position where they can be just as bad as last year. And I didn't think that was possible. And considering they had to surprise an NCAA tournament run that ended up giving their head coach an extension, the program's sort of going to be stuck with Wayne Tinkle, because I don't think that they're going to be able to do the buyout, but they're going to be really bad once again. In a conference that's going to have a few bad teams, because California has little talent. Washington, you know, they added some pieces, but they're starting from at the bottom. And Utah as well, team that's struggling as well. So it'll be interesting to see what the Beavers can do. But not looking good, and it's pretty bad news considering that there's nothing left in the portal for them to try to even get to replace them.
And Oregon State is a really unique case because the way that Oregon State was able to build up success is that it was a whole bunch of assistant coaches slash coaches' sons that wanted to commit to them that led to that successful Elite Eight run. I believe that Trey Sinko was a year out of college, but he was able to sort of build a little bit of foundation when they wound up going to the NCAA tournament the first time. And do you think that there could sometimes wind up being just overall a little bit of a lagging effect from a big run from this that you don't expect from a team like an Oregon State? Because Oregon State, I'm sure that they are very happy about that Elite Eight run. They would trade a lot for it, but now I feel like they're paying the consequences because, well, they had to pay their coach. They were in a position where they thought that some of the returning talent, even though they were losing some of those big pieces, they'd be able to step up. They clearly were not able to. And can sometimes a team making a run like this actually be a little bit of a detriment for the next few years? Because even though it helps with regards to recruiting, now we're seeing the coaching staff get a little bit complacent with some of those guys that helped with that run, and clearly they just weren't able to wind up helping the team out as much, and they just have not been able to do anything in terms of the transfer portal or recruiting.
That's the problem the Oregon State has, that the Elite Eight run didn't really do much. Like, if you're gonna, you know, get that much national press and that much attention, you're kind of hoping that it'll help you in the portal. That didn't happen for them. They didn't really land any talent that offseason. So when you lost the key players they did and didn't replace them, then as expected, you were going to take a step back. And realistically, they weren't an Elite Eight team. They actually had to get there via an auto bid because they weren't even an at-large contender. So they weren't really a good team to begin with, lost their best players, took the step back, but in a step back from being not good to begin with was the result it was. And now they're really struggling because you're not going to get many players to come there. And in the era of the portal, the good players that you do have there can easily just leave in the offseason. They're kind of stuck in a cycle where they're going to have to hope that they can get multiple players to break out and sort of become that large team and at least make the case that they're building something. Otherwise, it's going to be a bunch of one-and-done guys that will just come there and leave to go somewhere else. Looking at the coaching staff, yeah, maybe Wayne Tinkle isn't the guy for them, but who's necessarily going to be clamoring to go there? Could you get a couple of high-profile names from the WCC to potentially go there, like Washington State did with Kyle Smith? Maybe, but the program's going to be in trouble for a while, and I'm not sure if there's anything they can do about it other than just eat it the next couple of years until the buyout becomes attainable.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough one for the folks in Corvallis, and they had dealt with a lot of, shall we say, failures since they wound up going to the NCAA tournament, I think with AC Green many years ago, and Gary Payton, his son, wound up being able to help them out from there, and they wound up making the 2016 NCAA tournament. But man, now it looks like it's going to be a rough state of affairs for Oregon State the next few seasons, as Tristan Freeman does a great job over at Bustin' Brackets is joining me on the podcast. And speaking of a team that wound up making a surprise Elite Eight run a few years ago, but has not experienced quite that fall off, that'd be Dayton. Now, obviously, when it comes to that Elite Eight run, that was one in which was a little bit more shot out of a cannon. And who knows how they would have been able to maximize that in 2020, because they were most likely going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament. You feel, I mean, worse for Dayton as to what wound up happening in that 2020 season. But now here they are, and many people are thinking that perhaps they deserve a little top 25, top 30 buzz. I know that a few weeks ago, you wound up having a debate out there in the Atlantic 10, more specifically in St. Louis versus Dayton as to who should be the favorites out there in the Atlantic 10. But I think that the Atlantic 10 as a whole, it is set up for quite a bit of success with the two teams that you wound up debating, Dayton and St. Louis, being really at the forefront of it.
Yeah, and the A-10 typically is a team that has five or six, you know, really solid teams and two to three NCAA tournament contenders. I think based on the overall talent St. Louis has, and plus Dayton bringing everyone back from what kind of should have been a tournament team had they avoided those bad losses, they're sort of going to be leaders. But VCU is a team that has plenty of talent led by Eddie Spalt when they're going to be in the mix. Bringing Loyola Chicago, even though they have a new roster, their program's history says that they're going to come right into the mix and be good. And don't forget a team like Davidson. You know, they didn't lose their two or three best players, but their offensive system is still going to remain potent, and they're going to get a lot of wins. I think this is going to be a conference that you could see upwards to four teams potentially being at least the NIT mix, and then potentially even more. But I think two bids should be likely for the league, assuming the preseason favorites do what they're supposed to, which isn't a guarantee because the A-10 in the past 4 or 5 years have seen their preseason favorites struggle. And then it's the teams that are projected to finish between 4 and 7 are the ones that end up breaking out. So it could be a case this year, but I have a feeling that the talent gap with Dayton and St. Louis is going to be too much for the rest of them to overcome, and they should finish 1 and 2. The question will be, who's the best team in the league when it's all said and done?
And let's dive into that question right about now, because I do think that it is interesting. Dayton was absolutely amazing on defense. I felt like they could have used just a little bit more offense, but they had a bunch of young players last year. Meanwhile, St. Louis, they weren't able to live up to sort of the preseason hype that we wound up having around them, but they bring back Yuri Collins. If he's able to reduce the turnovers a little bit, that would be important. And you know what's good for being able to reduce turnovers? A good guard alongside of you is Javonte Perkins, who was the top scorer for the team 2 seasons ago where they nearly made the NCAA tournament. He's back after he wound up suffering a debilitating injury last offseason. Now, you have your question marks as to how he's going to be able to respond from the injury, but I take a look at this debate between Dayton and St. Louis. I personally would default to St. Louis just a little bit here, but I could see both of these teams, when it's all said and done, being potentially in the top 25.
Yeah, I mean, last season, Dayton was literally the youngest team in terms of experience in the country, and they still ended up with 24 wins and was the first team out of the NCAA tournament, according to a selection committee. So if you assume guys like Daron Holmes and Malachi Smith have their expected sophomore breakout campaigns, they should absolutely be better. I think St. Louis, they have a higher ceiling because you bring back the nation's leading passer in Yuri Collins. You have one of the best pure shooters in the country in Gibson Jimerson, a guy in Javonte Perkins that can go for 20 any given night. You have a backcourt when it comes to overall depth off the bench. You have Javon Pickett, who was a starter in Missouri, Fred Thatch, and Terrence Hargrove, who are two of the better role players slash glue guys in the country. And I think they just have a ton of depth and a ton of potential that could allow their offense to flourish in a way that could get them some huge non-conference wins and go through the A-10 without suffering one of those bad losses that tend to come against the lower level of the league that sort of trips up some of the bubble contenders.
I think that it's going to be really interesting to take a look at the Atlantic 10 this season, because even a team like a Richmond that was able to surprise them, we always wind up seeing some of these teams during the conference tournament, they wind up being able to creep up. They wind up being able to have some good results. They're ones to be able to take a look at as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Tristan Freeman, because I do think that the middle of the Atlantic 10, to your point, with teams like Loyola Chicago joining in the fold, Davidson with the coaching regime change, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for them, but I still think that they're relatively solid. I think that it's going to be a good year overall for them. But when it comes to the landscape of college basketball, I think that we both be in agreement. The Atlantic 10, they've got a couple sleepers to take a look at, but just as you've been doing your evaluations this offseason, I know that you've been doing some great ones. Has there been a team or two that has been standing out over the last month, maybe 2 months, now that a lot of the dust has settled in the transfer portal, that now you look at them a little bit more, now that we have a little bit more of a crystallized roster, and you think, man, this is a team that towards the beginning of the offseason, I didn't know about them, but now that I've taken a second look, I feel a little better about them?
Yeah, and there's two of them in the SEC now. Like, I think a lot of people look at Arkansas, Kentucky, and Tennessee as sort of the leaders. But I can make a case that both Alabama and Auburn are right up there with them. You look at Alabama, they won't have Javon Quinterly till SEC play, but I could argue that they won't really need him as much, because you look at Ohio transfer Mark Sears, who's an outstanding combo guard, can shoot, as well as being a passer, and 5-star point guard Jaden Bradley, who is completely flying under the radar compared to his fellow freshman Brandon Miller. He's someone that can absolutely play the point guard role out the gate. You have St. Bonaventure transfer Dom Welch, who's a typical 3-and-D guy. And look for Charles Bediako, the center, to have that breakout year. Usually the big men that come in rather raw, who doesn't have a clear offensive game, it takes them a while to get it going, but he has the potential to not necessarily have a gear like Mark Williams of Duke did last year, but it could be something similar. And if he does that, especially on a defensive end, then Alabama's Final Four aspirations. And then you look at Auburn, you know, they bring back 2 double-digit guards and KD Johnson and Wendell Green, who are maybe inefficient, but I think that they'll improve on that. And look for wings you know, a healthy Alan Flanagan and freshman Chance Westry not necessarily fully replace the production that Jabari Smith did, but can come close at the wing position. Then Johan Traore and Johnny Broome is going to be one of the better defensive front courts in the country. I think Auburn has plenty of depth, and I think their defense is going to be really good next year. Those two teams, I think, don't get talked about as true SEC contenders, but don't be surprised if they're in the mix, at least from a standings position, midway or even towards the end of league play.
And it's going to be a very, very tough SEC this season. You do have a lot of new coaches, but at the same time, I think that Alabama's going to be a little bit more consistent this season. And then you've got, obviously, teams like Tennessee, Kentucky, you're able to go down the line. So I do think that Auburn has a chance to be relatively solid. I completely agree with you on Johnny Broome. He showed through in that Ford trip that Auburn wound up taking that he is going to be able to be a big-time contributor for this team, just like you're a big-time contributor when you wind up joining this podcast, Tristan. You do amazing work over there at FanSided's coverage of college basketball, better known as Bustin' Brackets, and I know that you're doing a great job getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. So love the good people at home. Know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at HoopsNut351. Same thing as the Bustin' Brackets handle, as well as the site overall. Type Bustin' Brackets and you'll oversee the main site and everything we're doing. And it's preview season. So I just came out with my top 25 or preseason power rankings that you can see on the site. And I'm working on the ACC and Pac-12 as we speak.
Tristan, doing amazing work getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. For those who are fans of teams in the more Pennsylvania state and specifically Pittsburgh area, Tristan, he does a great job on that front, does a great job being able to cover the game nationally, and it is always a pleasure to get him on the podcast. Big thanks to Tristan for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the Beats and Family podcast. Coming up next, we have seen a little bit of player movement and a few things that are noteworthy in college basketball over the last 48 hours, so we are going to be recapping those next.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Ghost Heaps with myself, Greg Heaps Spears, and now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. Always a pleasure to get Tristan Freeman of Bustin' Brackets aboard. He does amazing work covering the game of college basketball all 12 months out of the year. It is always a pleasure to get him aboard, and he's doing great work getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. So appreciate him joining me today. A big thanks to our good friend Tristan. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball really over the last 48 hours. Cut it a little bit shorter yesterday since I was doing the Greg Peterson experience, but we did wind up seeing a couple of smaller moves wind up happening with guys transferring and guys for the most part going down to the non-D1 level. We did wind up seeing one D1 to D1 transfer. That'd be Mikey Frazier. Frazier, he just did not wind up playing a lick lot last season over at Utah Tech, better known as 60 State. 6 points and 2.3 rebounds per game, but he only wound up playing in like 3 games in total for them. Someone who has made the rounds, I believe that he wound up beginning his career at Boise State, but he is now going to be heading over to Cal Baptist. Rich just wind up getting richer with this one for Cal Baptist. They've been able to do a very solid job of being able to fortify themselves down low. They wind up bringing in Hunter Goodrick. They did wind up losing Daniel Aiken from last season, but I take a look at this Cal Baptist team. They're going to be highly competitive out there in the WAC this season with bringing back just the Armstrong brothers in general. Riley Batten is someone that's 6'9" that's able to pop three, so this is going to be a very, very good team. Oh yeah, Timmy Ogahovi, he winds coming in from Georgetown. He's a 7-footer, so look out for this Cal Baptist team. They just wound up getting another nice acquisition, and on top of what we wound up seeing with Warwick Altice, and I'll get to him in a second, you did wind up seeing Isaiah Johnson of Oregon State. He decided that he was going to be entering into the transfer portal as well. Very sparingly used guy. He only averaged right around 1 point per game last season, but losing Warwick Altice was a side that he's going to be going pro. That hurts a team that they've got no backcourt to speak of. He was able to average 9 points, right around 5 rebounds per game last season when they made the NCAA tournament in the Elite Eight. 9.5 points, 1.4 blocks, 8.5 rebounds per contest. Not a guy that was going to go out there and pop threes, but certainly a nice post presence for Oregon State to have. Now he's out of the fold, so that is not necessarily too terrific for them. We did wind up seeing a pair of guys that were at the non-D1 level, but are on teams that are now up at the D1 level in Carius Key from Texas A&M Commerce and Miles Bleu from Southern Indiana decide that they are going to be going and just pretty much staying at the D2 level, with Bleu going to Davenport and Key going to Tiffin College. Neither of these guys officially wound up playing at the D1 level, so you really don't have to do much for your handicap. You just want to note that when you're projecting these teams going from the non-D1 level to the D1 level, assign Dioff. He's a 7'2" gentleman that began his career at Fresno State. Was at Ossipee last year, just did not wind up warranting any playing time whatsoever. He has decided that he's going to be playing for D2 Davenport as well, which you may recall, D2 Davenport actually knocked off Grand Canyon in a game like 2 or so years ago, so they actually are a relatively solid D2 school, but still, guy that's going down to the 91 level, so very easy for your handicap. All you need to know is that he's no longer in the full. Cross him off your list and move on. Longwood's LaCarry Count, he has decided that he's going to be going to College of Southern Idaho, going down to the junior college level, hopes to resurface with a D1 team in a year or two. And then he saw Matt Gary, who was at UConn last season. He's going down to the junior college level. He's going to be playing for Endicott College. I have to assume that he was a walk-on, wound up playing 12 games in total, averaged 0.2 points per game for his career. You wish Mr. Gary well, but not necessarily a big loss there. And you're going to notice that there's going to be more and more guys that commit to these non-D1 schools, because over 40% of guys that entered in the transfer portal, nearly 1,800 in total, have yet to decide where where they're going to be going in terms of a school and playing college basketball. And as we know, some of these guys, they're going to be going pro in something other than sports, but we go pro in trying to be able to make you guys money. More conference previews are coming your way. I plan on doing the SoCon tomorrow, probably not going to have a guest for it, but I plan on doing the SoCon tomorrow. The Sun Belt and the SWAC should be coming soon, as well as the WAC as well. So if you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you've got one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Name does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day on this podcast. News and notes of college basketball, coupled with conference previews. Those are in the offseason. Then once we get in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. Big thanks once again to Tristan Freeman of Boston Brackets for joining me in the last segment. And I will come at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.